Thanks for tuning in to episode 233 of the Overseas Connection. Yes, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today, August 27th, 2013, I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy. With us, a full house, if you will, of a podcast crew. You just heard from Mr. Christopher Matthew.
That's me.
That is you indeed.
What?
Also,
guess what day it is, everybody?
Hump do we have to guess what day?
What?
Hump day?
Never mind.
No.
It won't. You put this on Wednesday, so it's hump day. You should have just rolled with it.
I could have rolled with it, but I can't. Not anymore.
Have you seen the commercial with the camel?
No.
Guess what day it is, everybody? It's really funny. You should watch it.
It's salad day, Chris. It is salad day.
It is delicious salad day. For those of you looking to eat healthy, you should try hearts of romaine, feta cheese, craisins.
Well, look again.
Almonds.
Wait for it.
Almonds. Some New York strip. And bacon.
Still just... Boom. Yeah, that's the healthy part, the bacon. Also with us,
good
Mike
for your
Chin.
Soul, Greg.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
You all right?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Do you like
Mike,
bacon?
Are you eating?
I like bacon.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a salad with bacon on it right now?
Would you,
salad.
Do you prefer the back bacon or the stringy bacon?
I suppose
rashers. Is
the stringy
back
one, I think.
Yeah, the stringy one is superior. The belly bacon, far superior.
That's the one I like.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was just getting ready to announce Richard Primrose.
He doesn't like bacon.
You sure? Rich, do you like bacon?
I love bacon.
Okay.
He just wants to be our friend, so he's telling us whatever we want to hear.
Yeah.
No, I just got... Somebody just cut me off. I just got slammed out for fucking slagging off American shops that sell things that we don't know about.
Rich, that's called your internet leak. You need to call those guys back up and have them come out and tighten those hoses down.
Put a bucket under your internet faucet to catch all those megabits.
You got a puncher in your internet hose.
What you can do, Rich,
yes,
is put a bucket under your internet faucet, and then when you need to download a game, you just dump all those megabits into your computer, and the game will download instantly. It's perfect. It's flawless. Can't fail.
Cannot go wrong.
Do these megabits breed till I get bigger bandwidth?
No.
But
what happens
question.
Is they grow viruses, right? Check your basement for viruses, because I guarantee you, you're infected. If you got an internet leak, you probably have virus issues inside the drywall, or you might call it.
My mother lives in the basement, so does that mean she's got viruses?
She's dead.
You bastard viruses.
Rich, I believe you have, what is it, the ITD, Internet Transmitted Disease?
All right. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
How far are we going with this? Is it going to get uncomfortable in a minute? If so, I'm going
How
to go away
How far do you
want to
go?
Back
I'm ready for anything.
at this point, it's almost like we have a ticking time bet with
ticking.
How quickly your connection. I don't know.
Ticking time bomb, like Miley Cyrus?
That's his internet connection. It really is. At
Rich's
any moment, it could go off.
Is Miley Cyrus?
Don't jiggle the wires.
Don't jiggle the wires. Don't
if
jiggle
I get kicked off again, I'm not coming back. Just letting you know, I've got to be up early.
All right. That's the excuse we're getting. All right. Well, we have the full crew. Rich, it's great to have you back. So, in interest of ticking time bombs, loose wires, and you having to get up early, why don't you tell us what you have been playing first?
Oh, we're doing that straight away. What about Mike? Has he had an intro? All right. Okay.
Mike did.
I missed that.
He said hello.
Okay.
I said hello. I said you're all right. And then we talked about bacon for a bit.
Yes. And Mike's internet connection is stable.
Okay.
Rich, we're concerned for your health.
All right.
ICDs can get nasty fast.
Yeah. Let me get on with it then. I've been away for a bit, so I've not played many games. Then I came back. Then I played games. I played more Castlevania. I'm really enjoying that. It's a good game.
Okay.
Got me shards.
This is the this was the new Castlevania, not the remake?
No, this is the original one that I got gifted very kindly from Mr. Bunger, the same. So been playing that. Very impressive. Very nice looking game. And I think it was 2010, wasn't it? So it's not a new game. It looks really good. While we're talking about swords and shit, Chris, you did say something to me via Twitter about you wanted to talk about Dark Souls.
I did.
Did that go out on the podcast, or did I miss that?
Have you been listening?
We talked briefly about it, yes.
Did you?
I mean, apparently not.
Go away for a while. Don't have to listen?
I know, fucking sleeping in the whole nine yards. Tell you what,
you just can't get good help these days. I've been playing Dark Souls, although I haven't played it in about a week or so. Maybe we can talk about it next week. I'll try to play some.
Okay. We'll postpone that. Okay. Castlevania, enjoying that. Still enjoying that. Plants vs. Zombies 2. I've been playing that along with my son. He's doing it on the iPad. I'm doing it on my phone. And we've got
that's free to play, right?
It's free to play, yeah.
Right,
I've heard all the stuff about purchases. You see plenty of stuff about purchases. But at the moment, I'm more than happy to carry on the way that I'm going.
That's what I heard, is that they present all the purchase options, but you really don't need them.
At least not
early on in the game.
No, the cool thing is, I've seen the stuff that you buy weapon-wise and stuff, it's the stuff that I've already seen in the first one. So I'm not too bothered, because a lot of the new stuff I'm getting to play with anyway at the minute. So maybe I need it later. And the stuff that's like boosts while you're playing levels, I can do that with the in-game currency, and I don't seem to have any shortage of that at the minute. So that's doing me okay. So I'm happy with it. I like it. And I like the way that it keeps throwing up random challenges to you. So you can say, oh, you'll get something really cool if you defeat this Yeti, but he's back here on this level. So then you zoom back through your map and you pick him and you do that level again. And it's slightly different to what you did the first time around. It's good. It's good. It's got nice little challenges and stuff so far. So yeah, we'll see how infuriating it gets in the next week, but at the minute, very good. And I've been playing World of Tanks. World of Tanks?
And,
you played this
game? Yeah. I still jump into it every now and then.
I like World of Tanks.
I know. I really enjoyed it. What's nice is because it's free to play, you don't feel like this need to go out and like, I've got to play it right now, and send it back, or, you know, because you bought it and it's a new game, you've got to play it and, you know, you're fearful of the user base going away. It feels like it's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is at the minute, because it's obviously beta test and all that, I can't see any way of setting up with friends and stuff and play it cooperatively. But what I have seen is the spirit of it seems really good, because what I've seen when I've been playing, there's loads of people talking and communicating. I think it's because it's fresh. You know what I mean? You know, like you go into your Call of Duties and it's getting released year on year. Then everybody's used to the pattern of going in, slagging everybody off and there. This, it seems like everybody's trying to get the hang of it and they're working out things about positioning and the whole thing to do with spotting and stuff like that. And, it's quite refreshing. Yeah. And the big thing I always love about Battlefield is when you do get them big maps where you can jump in a vehicle and stuff. And this is just that all the time. So it's win-win for me. I don't think many people have talked to it. I've really been enjoying the artillery tanks, because I can happily just sit there where you can plant yourself positionally on a high point at the back of the map and just get like really good access to anybody that's getting spotted by other tanks in the game. They will show up on the map and you can zoom into their position. And as long as you've got the trajectory that's not been blocked by anything, then you can start lobbing artillery over to them. And, it's a great game. I'm enjoying it. It's good. Thumbs up for that one from me. Yeah.
All right.
I want to see how these upgrades work on it though as well, because they do kit you out with the khakis tanks possible to start off with, and they're all really sluggish.
Well, they have to.
But it seems like... Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and a lot of, it's good because it's a beta. A lot of people, are, you know, they all seem to be on the same sort of level and stuff. And, yeah, I've been chuntering away. Not quite sure what I'm doing with these upgrades and stuff.
Are there any people on there that are just, like, way ahead of you and that overpowered?
No, it shows you what tiers the other players are.
Yeah, but, it's kind of cool the way that it handles that. So you go into a match, and what it does is it, you select out your tanks, but... once you select your tank first that you want to roll with, and then you try to connect up to a match. And I think what's happening is the servers in the background are in a sense kind of, they're going through and they're, we just lost Rich, just for the record. I just want to point that out. His internet connection.
I'm back.
Hello. Just saying we lost you, Rich, and you're back. But no, so the servers on the back end are sorting through all the players trying to connect into matches, and it kind of balances it out. So it takes, if you're trying to roll with heavy tanks, it will either put you into a match that's got a lot of heavy tanks in it, or it'll at least put you into a match where there's a few heavy tanks and split them up onto different sides.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting the way it does it. You, whenever you get into a match, you feel like you're more or less being matched up with the right kind of tanks. Either, you know, like if you're rolling with a light tank, you don't want to be the only light tank in that match.
Yeah.
But there's advantages to being a light tank. You can go around just spotting people and earn experience that way, versus, because you're super fast and you just have to be nimble and you have to learn your tank will not kill bigger tanks.
Okay.
But there's a lot of teamwork, like Rich was saying. I definitely noticed that as well. It is a game you will not survive very long if you try to lone wolf it.
Right.
Because once you're spotted, numerous tanks will come in and attack you, and you are a dead man walking usually.
Yeah, and the whole thing with that artillery thing is you get spotted, and then you are there glaring the obvious on the map. But if you're not spotted, then you're completely invisible to everything. So it don't matter if I was like 2 yards in front of somebody and the wall was there, that guy could be right in front of me and I'm looking at my... The artillery switches to a different map. It's an aerial map. And
yeah, that,
so you've
got to
watch what you're doing
bridge.
With that. Yeah. You've got to watch what you're doing with that because obviously you need to be aware of what's going on outside of that aerial map that you're using. It's the same sort of principle to using the drones and stuff in Battlefield, but yeah, it's cool. Cool.
Excellent.
Like it. Yeah.
Anything else, Rich?
Brothers had a bit of a go on Brothers when that came out.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a beautiful looking game, that. I like it.
It is.
But I wasn't ready to take the pop on it because I've got so many full price games that I'm playing at the minute. That's the only thing that stopped me because I love the quaintness of the way the guys are talking in a foreign language, aren't they? They've got their own language.
Well, it's almost like a sim language.
Yeah.
It's kind of gibberish.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, yeah, I loved it. It was, yeah, smart looking game. It had really good, interesting ideas in it. And I'm sure they move on whilst you're playing it. And I've heard a lot of people saying it is really good, who've played the whole thing. And what's drawn me back into thinking about getting it is, it's not too long of an experience. Is that right?
That is correct. I played through it. It's about maybe 4 hours.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Fairly, that's a nice little length. That, yeah. That, I might seek that out soon.
Surprisingly emotional game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I do get, though, and this is what we were talking about before, that price point, you know, if it had been $10, I think this game would have sold even better. For obvious reasons, but I think $10 was really probably the right price point for the game.
Mm.
Not quite sure 15 is the correct price point for it.
And now we can all see it in proper money.
Yes, yes. All right, Rich, while you're sitting back, maybe apply a little ointment to that ITD, and we'll move over to Mike.
Yo.
Mike, what have you been playing?
Blops.
Blops?
Yep.
Little Blops 2?
Blops 2.
Now, I know we played Zombies Blops 2 today.
We did.
Have you played other Blops 2 beyond the Zombies Blop 2?
Finished the single player.
Was it a resounding success in your eyes?
No.
Was it a resounding failure in your eyes?
No.
Was it just eh?
Yes.
Okay.
I really liked the story of Blops 1.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
I remember.
I thought it was a good kind of story. And I genuinely wanted to know what happened. Not so much the case for Blops 2. And Blops 2 is an extension on Blops 1. Slightly. I think 1's fairly wrapped up, but 2 is a bit... I don't know. There's certain things in it that are just a bit crap. Like people coming back from the dead. You know, all that stuff. And you just, whatever. And the levels aren't that great. The horse level's horrible. A lot of it's metal. There's a lot of metal levels.
That horse level made me forget about a single player. That's the first time I've ever done that on a Call of Duty. Never done that before.
Yeah. That was by far the worst Call of Duty level I've ever played.
Yeah, because in a trailer, horses look cool.
Right.
But didn't play out so much that way.
No.
It would have been better if they just kind of, you know, and they put you on a gun turret and the car's just driving itself.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just an on-rails kind of moment in the game. Like, it just would have been better like that. Because it's fairly open. Well, it's meant to look quite an open map. But, I don't know. It's just dumb. The game's dumb. I was just playing the whole game. It's like, oh, this is Menendez, chase him. Oh, make this decision. Oh, no. Whatever. I just couldn't get into it. Blops 1 was so much cooler in what it was trying to do. It just feels like a different guy wrote this or a different guy directed this or... I know, because Blops 2 was written by some credible writer. Well, I say credible. I don't know how credible they are. But, yeah, there's some Hollywood peoples, I think. Something to do with The Dark Knight, I think, as well. I'm not sure, but...
I don't recall specifically, but, you know, I mean, I know they've always talked up their single-player story as being this, you know, incredible popcorn action-filled, you know, game and moments and, you know, the Call of Duty moments. And to me, I think with Blops 2 especially, it really lost its steam and just, I mean, quite honestly, it got me to say, no, I don't care what I see on Ghost, I will not buy Call of Duty Ghost. Mm. Not unless months down the road, that game is a 10 out of 10 and everybody under the sun is saying, no, it is a must-play game. But I don't foresee that happening. They lost me with Blops 2. I need to take a break from Call of Duty.
There's a few things that are different with it. Go on, mate.
I was just going to say, what zombies was you playing? Was you playing... What you got with
know.
It?
Ask Greg, he was the one who picked it. In fact, you can even view it on YouTube soon because I captured the whole thing.
Yes, we made a video of our experience on zombies.
Was it the one you
were
out on
Duty.
The bus? Were you going on the bus?
Well, so we did the bus one and then we did a survival level. So the bus one was confusing. Actually, all of them were confusing because...
So the bus one, we was the most confused.
Yeah, the bus one, it starts up and you hear this bus honking and Mike and I are running around like madmen. You know, we're starting to kind of get it. We're upgrading. We got on the bus. We drove off. We're going to another level. Zombies are trying to clamber into the bus and we're shooting them and we get to this next spot. We stop. We get out of the bus. We're cruising around. And as soon as we got off the bus, I could hear the bus honking back at us. And I'm like, okay, we just got off the bus. And we walked into this building. We got some upgrades. We walked back out as the shit really started hitting the fan. The bus was gone. I mean, we're running around. Where the fuck did the bus go? Where did he go? He just took off.
Yeah.
And so.
The other players can dump you. And you just got to stay there fighting while they piss off somewhere else.
I thought we were in a private game, but
I think
you know.
We was meant to be getting back on that bus, Greg.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, you'll see all this on YouTube soon. I'll cut it right down so it's just the stupid bits. But we were pretty pathetic, to be honest. And I'm just going to load up the footage now. And
it was comical.
I'm watching it now. I'm watching us play it now.
And, so here's a question. I noticed at least it was this whole idea of the ground breaking with fire coming out of it, like persistent through every map. Rich, we're going to call you the expert at the moment because you sound like you've played quite a bit of zombies.
No, not that much, but I think that's just it's just specific to that level, if I remember rightly. But tell you what's pissed me off about zombies, and you know I bought that expansion that was the prison level with all of the guys out of the gangster films.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it is really good, but I think they've just overcomplicated it. You know, when you're playing World at War, they hit on a really good idea with like you we're going to put these machines in, you can upgrade your gun. And then that gun's going to be super powerful and all that lot. That was brilliant. It was great. But now it's like, you've got to go and get this thing to put with this thing. And when you get them things together, then you can all the bits and bobs and stuff. And you're like, because it's now like transferring from level to level and all that lot, you're like, it's a bit involved, this, isn't it, really? I just want to sit down with mates and fend off, hordes of zombies. And that's
it,
really.
What pissed me off. It was walking 1 foot forward when the map started up and catching on fire.
Yeah.
Whatever the survival level we played, which was, it was a fairly small map. You were saying it kind of reminded you of Raven.
I could actually look
years.
Back and...
Well, but it was like the ground was all broken up and there was all kinds of fire coming out
of the
cracks.
The first one we did was Green Run Transit.
Yes.
And then...
The second one.
Second one
was the one that... we gave it two goes, but it just pissed me off because you would run over these cracks in the ground, and because there was flame coming out, you totally caught fire. And it was almost unavoidable, even jumping over it, to not catch fire for just a little bit. And it did damage
you
to your health.
You need either in the garage or the buffet place, the stop, the cafeteria. You hold up
in
there.
So that was on the bus run, but we did a survival mode of just on the map. And it was fun.
We did Green Run Town... Survival.
Yeah, that was the one with the bus.
No, that was the one.
Was it?
The second one. I'm looking at the footage, Greg.
Alright, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's all a blur. All I remember is lots of zombies coming around, Mike and I screaming, oh god, oh god, oh god.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that I'll be doing quite often, like, not just blops, but, and this goes for Rich and Chris as well. If there's any games that you fancy, that you fancy playing and that you think would be entertaining for people to watch, basically because we're shit, then speak up and give me some ideas. But, things like that.
I want to say Outland, because you never got that and you said you would do. And that's
Outland.
Got co-op in it.
That's got co-op in it. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. I never did get that one, did I? Okay.
Well, Mike, so let's go back to your game, though. So overall, impressions of Blobs 2?
It's still a fun ride, right? But
right.
I was expecting a little bit more because I really like Black Ops 1 and the story in Black Ops 1.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like they pushed it a bit more with Black Ops. But the second one is just... It's pretty cool. It's just... all these Call of Duty games now is just like the end of the world.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, I was really disappointed with... In Call of Duty 4, that story was really good. And it wasn't the world is ending story. It's just... Mm-hmm. It's just... You know, that... It just... It's like a small pocket. It's a small story that involves those people. But then
right.
Modern Warfare 2 continued on from that. And then Modern Warfare 3, and it became like the end of the world story.
Right.
You know, Modern Warfare 2, like there was invaded America and all this stuff, and I was like, you know, it's just, and Call of Duty 4 felt like a realistic, grounded story. And then 2 and 3 just all of a sudden they're invited in America and they're in the suburbs and all this nonsense. And then back to Black Ops. Black Ops felt like its own little story. And then it just resorted to, you know,
end of the world.
Yeah, it's just the end of the world, you know, like all the drones start attacking America and the LA and stuff and whatever. I get disappointed when that happens. You know what I mean? Not every game has to be.
Why is it always attack America? Why is it always attack LA? Why not Northampton, you know?
Wolverhampton.
Whatever. You know what I meant.
Damn. There is a Northampton. Or Nottingham.
Just not where Mike is.
Wait, Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 3 destroyed London. That was kind of nice.
Are you a terrorist?
No. Yeah. We are not making those jokes on the show. No. Remember.
Oh, yeah.
We made a promise.
Barack Obama's listening. Bomb. So, I'm not really feeling Black Ops 2, but, you know, it was still a fun ride. It's still fun to shoot people in the face.
Now, let me just throw this out there, Mike. Did it feel like Black Ops 2 really showed its age this go round?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I don't think Call of Duty has improved graphically very much over since Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. Right. No, it's been little. I mean, every year they say it's improved. This was the first year where I really kind of looked at it and I thought, man, this game just does not look that great comparatively speaking to its competition. And the horse level really reinforced that and how bad that looked compared to, say, Assassin's Creed, where we know what a good horse riding experience looks like, or Red Dead Redemption.
Mm.
Tell you what's going to be really interesting is, you know how they've been talking about this, the new one, and it's not like, it don't seem like it's on a fully fledged new engine. And they've still got to churn that out for the 360. Although all this attention at the minute is on Titanfall for the Xbox One, it's going to be interesting what them guys do for a 360 version and see if that has any sort of dent next Christmas on the multiplayer market for the people that are still hanging on to 360s. Do you know what I mean?
Are you talking about Titanfall having a dent on Call of Duty numbers?
Yeah.
Or
because they're going to do they're doing a 360 version, aren't they?
Right. But so the thing about that though, it's not Respawn Entertainment that's doing the port. They are outsourcing that to another studio.
I'm not talking. Yeah, but I'm not talking in terms of them having anything to do with each other. I'm just talking directly as competitive titles.
No, I get exactly what you're saying, Rich. I get exactly what you're saying. What I'm getting at is that we don't know what the quality of the Titanfall port is going to be. It could be utter shit.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think more telling is probably what's going to happen between Call of Duty Ghost on the 360 and PS3, between that and Battlefield 4. Battlefield 4 really seems like it is gaining a lot of steam up against Call of Duty.
I'm looking at Battlefield 4. I'm a lot more interested in it. But hey, I look at Call of Duty Ghosts and I don't see a massive improvement graphically.
Agreed.
So I'm not really that excited. I'll play it and it'll be fun, but Battlefield 4's got my eye, to be honest. So, yeah, anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Okay. Alright, I apologize for the lengthy Blops 2 discussion. Let's talk about something current. Mr. Christopher Matthew, you are playing a game.
I am still here.
Yes, I was afraid for a second. I actually checked the text notes before I called on you. Just to make sure.
You're learning, Greg. You're learning.
I see everything.
One day, you'll be a professional.
No. Never. Saints Row 4, Mr. Matthew.
Saints Row 3.1.
Wow.
3.1?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
that's
not to say that it's not good, because it's... Because
you did give it a 0.1 improvement.
It's a... it's Saints Row... It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's poking fun at everything. It's fun. But
does it feel like DLC to you?
It It really feels like a Saints Row. I mean, it is a Saints Row 3 expansion pack, right? It's the same engine, the same map. You know, they've added some new weapons and some new enemies and some new characters. But it's really, you know, it's like Saints Row 4 is to Saints Row 3 what the Shivering Isles was to Oblivion. Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's not, you know, that's not to say it's not good.
Right.
It's just, more of, now, very much the same. Now they have added some new, mini games, right?
Was this a full price game?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it was $50 on Steam. I don't know what it was on the,
So that would be $60 on the consoles.
Usually.
Okay.
And I got $10.
I wonder if they would have been better served going down the Blood Dragon route.
Well, and but
do you know what I mean? Same map.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think they might have been. I think they might have sold it and been reviewed much better if they had released it as a full expansion to Saints Row 3, or Saints Row the Third, and sold it at $40 instead of $50, mm-hmm. instead of $60 or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's not that it isn't good. It is good. It's I say well acted. It's Saints Row. It's over the top. You know, but I did enjoy it. Like the opening scene, you're doing this sort of sneaky counterterrorism mission, and all of a sudden you're on this doomsday, you got to avert the end of the world kind of thing. And it's immediately poking fun at all of our favorite movies. You know, it's poking fun at Armageddon. It's poking fun at the Terminator. It's poking fun at Star Wars. It's poking fun at, I don't know, you name it.
Okay.
You know, it's all this, all those jokes, all those things, it's all in there, and it's all good. It's all funny. You know, it's just, it's more Saints Row the Third.
Okay.
Sweet. You know, so they
well,
did add
that.
Some more
That's
activities.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad I bought it. You know, they added in some new activities. So you got the mayhem and the insurance fraud and all that good stuff. They've added in a few other ones, that take advantage of your, so minor spoiler, you end up in this simulation. So it's kind of the overarching is a send up of the Matrix. You know, you're in the Matrix.
Right.
So they've got some different events that take advantage of your super abilities, you know, racing and jumping and those things.
Do you find, and this is one of the criticisms I heard, was that as you power up and you get your quote unquote superpowers, that vehicles become kind of obsolete?
I don't use vehicles a lot because once you reach the point where you have, you do eventually reach a point where you have unlimited super sprint. And at that point, you don't need a vehicle. So I find that instead of taking a vehicle, a super sprint, or you can do like this. You can't really fly. Maybe eventually I'll be able to fly, but right now you just kind of do this glide. So you can run up the side of a building and jump off the building and kind of glide for a long way to get where you want to go, which is pretty cool. There's some things that are silly about it. So for instance, at the beginning, you have a sprint meter and you can only sprint for so long. So sprinting takes up your sprint energy. Gliding takes up your sprint energy. I don't know why.
Yeah.
However, running up the side of a building does not. So that seemed kind of silly to me. Just a minor distraction. There's a bit of Crackdown in there because there are these data clusters that you have to find all over the city, which are positioned on top of buildings and things like the orbs in Crackdown. And as you gather them, you can spend those to upgrade your powers. I do like one thing that they did in Saints Row the Third. Once you got enough money, you could buy every upgrade that there was. So there wasn't really a lot of incentive to do all of the, you know, Genki Bowl and mayhem and insurance fraud. There wasn't really an incentive to try to gold all of those. In this one, in order to unlock certain abilities, you have to gold level all of those challenges. So they put some incentive there to do those things. So that's good.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's Saints Row the Third. It's Saints Row the Third plus one. It's over the top. It's fun. Keith David's in it, which is a plus one. You know, they're poking a bit of fun at Mass Effect too. this is kind of a minor spoiler. So you can walk up to the character. You have like this ship that's your hub world, and you can walk up to one of the characters, and you have a talk to or a romance option. So just for out of curiosity, I typed the romance button on Kenzie, the little blonde girl, and she turns around and punches me in the face. That was pretty good. Anyway, yeah. What else?
Okay.
Any other questions? Saints Row 4?
Is there a multiplayer co-op, that kind
now
of stuff?
That's one
mode?
Thing. I didn't look to see if there was the Horde mode that Rich and I played on Saints Row the Third. There are some activities that have to be done in co-op.
Okay.
And so if you're on the PC and you want a co-op partner for Saints Row 4, CP Matthew on Steam, look for me because I need to find a co-op buddy. I kind of wish I'd gotten this one on the 360 because it would be easier to find a co-op buddy, I think.
Yeah, because I could have been your co-op buddy.
Well,
I have it sitting in an envelope.
You need
right
to get
now,
a PC. Is what it is.
I guess yes.
But that's really all I've been playing this week. I got that downloaded on Tuesday, and I've been playing it since then.
Excellent. See, for me, we already talked about Call of Duty Black Ops ad nauseum. Flashback. The HD Flashback remake.
Oh yeah.
I gave the trial a quick go to get an idea, because I was kind of excited about this. I remember playing this game way back when it first came out, and you know, the updated version of this game looks very good. It's using Unreal Engine. It's got some nice little touches of when you take your character and you're running along some of the platforming paths. There might be some overgrowth of shrubs and stuff, and you'll see them move with your character when he brushes past them. But the problem with this game is that although they have made an HD remake, it's still using the same game mechanics of the game back in the day. And the realization is those game mechanics feel pretty dated. It's a platformer where you use, say, your thumbstick is going to be used for jumping up. So if there's a platform above you that you want to try and jump to and climb up, you push up on the thumbstick. And if you're walking along a path and you want to jump to the other side of an opening where there's two platforms to jump to, you use the A button to jump across.
Right.
The problem is that I don't really want to call it a lag, but there's like a sponginess to the controls.
Right.
So when you're running and you're hitting A, it doesn't feel crisp and responsive.
It's not very responsive,
Yeah. And the other part of the issue, and it's just an annoyance, it's not really a problem, at least in the trial run that I had, was when you're trying to go up to a platform above you, oftentimes you'll find yourself kind of on a lower platform, and there will be a platform to the left of you and a platform to the right of you that you can jump up to. And if you are often, you'll be kind of in the middle, and if you don't carefully align yourself to the one platform you really want to jump to, you just push up on your thumbstick, it may jump to the other platform. So, not game breaking, but the other part of the problem is the voice acting that they put in is horrible. It just really is not good. And I don't recall the original game having voice acting. I believe it was all just text. So it doesn't seem like they sprung for some good voice actors for Flashback. Ultimately, I think if you are really excited to play Flashback again or play it, it's probably not going to be a bad experience, but if you are like thinking, oh my gosh, it was such a great game back in the day, nostalgia kind of thinking, I think play the trial first. Let me just put it that way. Play the trial first. If you're still excited to play the game, then buy the full version. For me, it was kind of a no go. I don't foresee myself buying the game. So the game that has garnered most of my attention, if not all my attention, save the last two games for a little bit, is Splinter Cell Blacklist. I've been playing a ton of that. Yes. Super excited for it, and I am very, very happy with this game so far. It seems like it feels a lot like Conviction, but I feel like they made some good improvements on certain aspects of it. It feels a little more fluid than Conviction did, in terms of the game, just the moving to and out of cover and from cover. Although Conviction was pretty snappy itself. One of the things I like is, if I recall correctly, I remember Conviction feeling kind of short on the levels themselves. And this game, the levels in Splinter Cell Blacklist are big. They do kind of that checkpointing system where you'll go through and you'll play it and you'll reach a point and you'll do kind of an autosave and then you continue on. Very much kind of like what Splinter Cell Blacklist did, or sorry, Conviction did, where you had a checkpoint where you could reload your ammo and kind of, you know, switch out weapons if you have the upgrade. They seem to, at least so far, have done away with the mini game of the torture sessions where you might be trying to get somebody to talk or use an environment, you know, to beat somebody's head in, you know, to like a sink or something.
Right.
That seems to all be gone. The story is pretty engaging. Very dark.
Does it put you off that it's not the same voice actor?
No. I thought I might have an issue with that, but this guy seems to, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's doing a good job as Sam Fisher. At first, I did kind of notice it, but it quickly dissipates. He has that same kind of gravelly feel, and the character itself, he doesn't look quite like Sam Fisher used to, and I think that also kind of helps lend itself to the voice being different.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah. Because I'm trying to remember what Sam Fisher looked like in previous games versus what he looks like now. And it just, he seems to have a little bit of a younger vibe to him. And so I think, you know, with the new voice actor, it kind of works. One of the other neat things that they've done is they've created this hub world, which is, the Paladin, like almost like an Air Force One, if you will, that you're using as your kind of home base. There's an upgrade section for upgrading your armor and your gadgets and your weapons. And then you can upgrade the plane itself. That'll give you some different tactical options. And then there's the hub world or the world map, and you'll get presented story missions, which in a sense kind of have this sense of urgency to them that you're definitely going to want to pursue. But there will be side quest missions, almost kind of like Mass Effect, where sometimes you were talking to characters and they had this side quest regarding maybe their heritage or something they left behind that they want you to go find. And so some of the characters will have these side quest missions that you can go into. And I think you can play them either solo or co-op. But then beyond that, there is a full like set of like co-op missions that you can play. You know, very similar, and again, to kind of Conviction. I haven't heard glowing things about the co-op missions and how that plays out. I haven't played it yet myself, so I can't speak to it. But some of the reviewers were saying that the co-op stuff wasn't that great, but it does bring back Spies versus Mercs, and I'm excited to play that. But I really have focused on single player so far.
Okay.
Chris, I thought you'd be all over this because you really liked Conviction, didn't you?
I did. I did really like it. And this one kind of slipped under my radar just because I haven't had a great deal of time for games as of late, and Saints Row kind of caught my eye. I'll get to this one eventually.
Yeah, I think you will enjoy it. If you liked Conviction, Chris, you will you'll enjoy Blacklist. And you know, and again, it's going back to some of the tried and true Splinter Cell things of hiding in the dark. There's this concept, and to me, this really is just kind of a scoring system, but they have this idea of Ghost, Panther, and Assault, where depending on the actions you do and how you go about taking out enemies, you're either going to earn Ghost points, Panther points, or assault points. So basically, if you just open fire with an assault weapon or your handgun with no silencer on it, and just get into a full-on gunfight, any kills you get during that gunfight are basically going to get locked into your assault points. If you are stealthy and you're taking people out without them seeing you and you're getting a lot of stealth kills, you're going to earn Panther points. And then if, of course, you just avoid people and you're just navigating through the entire, mission without being noticed, without really taking anybody out or killing anybody, you're going to be a ghost. And,
does that roll out into your upgrade paths?
Yeah. Correct. Correct. It'll roll out into your upgrade path. And the upgrades all, they seem like they're cool. The weapons are probably some of the most important things, although the gadgets are nice too, but, quite honestly, you start out with sticky cams and noisemakers, and that's in some respects the only gadgets you really need outside of your night vision or a sonar goggle to play the game, and a silenced weapon. He does some vicious takedowns in terms of hand-to-hand combat stuff, and again, it's all selectable off the D-pad. So you hold down the D-pad, and then a radio wheel will come up, and you can basically select whether you want to do lethal hand-to-hand combat or non-lethal, and then you can select what gadgets you want to utilize. You can carry up to, I think it's 3 weapons, like a handgun kind of secondary weapon, your rifle, if you will, and then a non-lethal secondary weapon, so either a stun gun or there's another, I don't recall what the other one, I haven't unlocked it yet. But anyway, and again, it presents itself very much like old Splinter Cell, where it's, in a sense, kind of like Hitman as well, Mike. And I know you really liked Hitman.
I do.
All the guards and they're all going to have kind of their paths, and they're going to have their sequences of what they do. And so the map and the mission gets presented as a puzzle in terms of how you get through it, how you go about it. And so, there will be trial and error from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing it on realistic right now, and it does not take much for you to get taken out. Firefights are something you really want to avoid if at all possible. And, I'm very much enjoying it. And I don't want to spoil the story, but suffice to say, it's dark. It's got some teeth to it and some grit, and, just digging it.
Cool.
I can highly recommend
it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, perfect timing. Hopefully, Mr. Primrose will be back momentarily. His ITD apparently kicked back up.
Really?
Ointment on that, Rich. Ointment. Just rub it gently. It'll help out. We're going to talk some new releases, guys. I think that is the appropriate thing we should do.
Let's do that.
All right. So, new releases this week. Surprisingly, nothing on the Wii or the Wii U. I thought at this point we would be getting into kind of the game season.
Yeah.
So things were rolling out. We had Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, but nothing this week. 3DS, DS, we do see Wario Land 3 hitting the DSiWare eShop. But that is it for Nintendo. Moving over to the PS Triple, we've got Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. You've got Hatsune Miku Project Diva F. No clue. Killer is Dead, Lost Planet 3, and Madden NFL 25. PSN games this week. Crimson Sea 2, Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims in HD, Hatsune Miku Project Diva F, The HD Adventures of the Rotating Octopus Character, and Spelunky, along with Sweet Fuse at Your Side.
Okay.
Demos this week on the PS3. You've got Pro Evolution Soccer 2014, Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 and Spelunky. Moving over to the Vita, you've got a few PSN games this week. Floating God Saves the Pilgrims in HD, Spelunky, and Sweet Fuse at Your Side. There's also a demo available for the Vita for Spelunky. And moving over to the Xbox 360, we've got Killer is Dead, Lost Planet 3, Madden NFL 25, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Apocalypse DLC, Mike, if you are so...
Nah.
Yeah, Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah, the Xbox Live Arcade this week, I believe it's the Turtles game, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that'll be coming out, I think, Wednesday. Moving over to PC and Mac. Rich, speaking of Castlevania, Castlevania Lords of Shadow Ultimate Edition comes out this week. The Chaos Engine, Final Fantasy XIV A Realm Reborn, Game Dev Tycoon, Guardians of Middle-Earth, Guardians of Middle-Earth DLC bundles. Lost Planet 3, Memoria, Pixel Junk, Monsters Ultimate Edition, and Shelter. All hitting PC Mac this week. And that does it for your new releases. Alright.
I know.
But the good news, we still have Rich with us. His internet connection, while giving him fits and itching in weird places, he's still here.
Yeah. Best thing is, Chris, to talk about it.
It is best to talk about it. Chris also still awake, as far as I know. Possibly.
He did say back in a moment.
Damn it, he did. Look at that. Well, we are going to talk about News Quiz, because we do have a News Quiz. We've got a couple things to give away this week. So, how this is going to go down, we're going to play for the one prize, which is the Battlefield 3 code. Then, at the end, we will have a bonus round, and the closest person, without going over, let's put it that way, and we'll reiterate this for that bonus question, closest person without going over will get... their person, a World of Tanks beta code.
Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly. Alright, so Chris is here. Chris, we were just talking about the news quiz.
News quiz.
Everybody's excited. And,
love how Chris comes back singing the jingle from the last segment.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Greg was just making the closest one without going over. That's the Price is Right.
And the most important thing, Mike, you are playing for Uber Red Toe this week.
Uber Red Toe.
Yes, Chris, you are playing for PG Tips 77.
What's up?
And Rich, you are playing for Kryptonians.
Yeah!
All right.
Which, as we know now, are all clones.
Yes, they are all clones. Rich, you will be going first. Chris, you will be going second. Mike, you will be going third. There are 9 news quiz questions.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Me and Uber Red Toe got this, mate. We got this.
I'm going to do my best, because I know that Ryan likes shooters, so he'll appreciate a bit of the old Battlefield 3. Come on, let's do this.
All right. Rich, your first question.
Yeah.
The first 2 games from Ouya's Free the Games promotion have been funded on Kickstarter. Gridiron Thunder, a football game that uses the official NFL licensing, reached $75,000 goal with 13 days left in its campaign. The other funded game met its $50,000 goal with 17 days left, and it's developed by a Vancouver-based Victory Square Games. It is a point-and-click adventure game and is titled what? Is it A, Elementary, My Dear Holmes, B, It's Elementary Watson, or C, Holmes the Beginnings?
It's Elementary Watson.
Well, Rich, the game has players investigating mysteries not as the famous Baker Street sleuth, but as his faithful companion, John Watson.
Oh,
and it is Elementary, My Dear Holmes. Rich, I am sorry, starting off a little rough, but that's okay. You can recover. You can recover. All right, Mr. Matthew.
Uh-huh.
Two 2K Games' Sid Meier's Ace Patrol is jumping from iOS to what platform? Is it A, Android, B, 3DS, or C, Steam?
Android, 3DS.
Android, 3DS, or Steam.
The most obvious answer would be Android, so that's probably not right. Let's go with Android.
There's some irony to this, Chris, because the game is now available on Steam for Windows PC at a price of $9.99. It is a free-to-play tactical dogfighting game. It made its debut on iOS.
$9.99 is not very free-to-play, is it, Greg?
I know.
This question is invalid. Give me another one.
I am sorry, Mr. Matthew. I am sorry. You will get a chance later to redeem yourself. Mike, you are next. Mike, which game came in at number one on the UK charts ending August 24th? Was it A, Splinter Cell Blacklist, B, Saints Row 4, or C, Disney Infinity?
You always give me these.
It's fun.
Which one was the top one? Or...
Correct. Which one was number one?
And the choices were...
Splinter Cell Blacklist, Saints Row 4, Disney Infinity. Give me your answer now.
Don't think Disney Infinity. I'm going to go with Saints Row 4.
We're going to run down the top 10. The Bureau, XCOM declassified at number 10. The Last of Us at number 9. Number 8, Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes. Number 7, Animal Crossing New Leaf. Number 6, FIFA 13.
Still
number
5,
Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Number 4, Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition. That means all three of those games in the top three, Mike. You want to change your answer yet, or are you confident?
No,
what do you think?
Please don't make me even think about it, changing my answer. Because I'm tempted to say Blacklist, but all I've heard about is Saints Row 4, so I'll go with that.
Number 3, Disney Infinity. Number 2, Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yes.
Number 1, Saints Row 4.
Uberetto, come on.
All right, moving on. Well done, Mike. Well done.
Thank you.
Rich.
Yeah.
According to President of Worldwide Studios for Sony, Shuhei Yoshida, Party Chat with the PS4 will work with what device? A, the PS3, B, the PS Vita, or C, neither device.
Okay. Say that again. I heard Party Chat stuff at Gamescom, not relating to this stuff, though.
According to Sony's president of Worldwide Studios, Party Chat with the PS4 will work with what device? A, the PS3, B, the PS Vita, or C, neither device? So the PS4 will have Party Chat. The question is...
Yeah, I know. They're not going to bother with it. It's not the PS3. It's just whether or not it'll work with the Vita. But because they're going so heavy with it. Yeah, it's going to work with the Vita, especially for all the, cross-play and all that lot. Yeah, it will work with the Vita.
Okay, well, according to Shuhei Yoshida, Party Chat will work between the PS4 and the PS Vita.
Oh, so easy.
There you go. Rich redeeming himself. 1 point. Nicely done. Mr. Matthew, question coming to you. Which company accidentally leaked gameplay and story details about Grand Theft Auto V that stemmed from a file in a pre-order download? Was it A, Valve, B, GameStop, or C, Sony?
Sony can't do anything right. Let's go with Sony.
The leak of the gameplay and story details concerning Grand Theft Auto V stem from a file in the European PlayStation Store's digital pre-order download.
That one.
Of course, Mike, of course.
I have to tell you, let me divert us for a moment.
Divert away.
There was a tragic story in the news this week about a young child who shot and killed his grandmother while she was babysitting. And the media immediately turned to video games because he had been playing video games just before.
Right.
And to the credit of the news station, they actually had an expert on who was presenting research refuting the connection between video games and violence. And I thought to myself immediately, one, why the hell does this young child have access to a gun? That's irresponsible gun ownership. Two, why the hell was this child playing Grand Theft Auto 4? That's irresponsible parenting. Anyway, I said that because I was watching, they were showing video clips of GTA 4 and comparing video clips of GTA 4 to GTA 5, it is amazing how far we've come in this console, just in this console generation. Is what I came around to with that terrible, terrible story.
It was a tragic story. I will definitely agree to that.
Probably shouldn't have brought it up.
No. That's okay. I never heard about it.
We will soldier on.
Well, it caught my eye because they immediately went to, well, the video game made him do it, and makes my skin crawl when I hear that. But
there's no normal kids playing video games, only the psychopath kids.
Well, and immediately, and immediately when I hear that, I think, again, why is this kid playing Grand Theft Auto 4? Parents need to be involved and know what your kids are playing. Two,
right.
If you have a gun in the house, why is it not locked up?
Right. No, completely agree. And all valid points, Chris. Completely valid. All right, Mike, let's continue on here. You are up next. Gamescom attendance in 2012 was record-setting at over 275,000, Mike. What did organizers of the event state this year's Gamescom attendance was? Was it A, over 340,000? B, over 360,000, or C, over 380,000.
I should know this. Over 340.
Organizers of Gamescom said the premier public gaming event's attendance reached over 340,000.
Well, we read it on the show. I don't know. I just couldn't really. Yeah,
that's a lot of people, though. That is a ton of people.
That's a lot.
I just gotta say, that is that is crazy.
I remember it was quarter of a million 1 year, which was a lot then, but now it's like ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Rich, we are back to you. You need to get this right to stay in the game, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sort of.
Yeah. Well, keep the tense atmosphere there, Rich. Mm-hmm.
Trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on, Greg.
Yeah,
go on.
Whatever.
Rich, what developer / publisher has formed an alliance with NVIDIA to give PC gaming an edge in their games? Is it A, Ubisoft, B, Crytek, or C, EA?
I think Ubisoft are that big on PC stuff, aren't they? EA. Fuck them, they're doing their own thing because they've got their old original marketing. Yeah. Well, that's not hardware, is it? Who's the other one besides EA? I'm talking to myself. This is called mulling.
Mulling. Your choices are Ubisoft, Crytek, or EA?
I'm going to go with what I would never think would be right, but they release so many fucking games, Ubisoft.
Rich, Watch Dogs, Splinter Cell Blacklist, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag are all going to look best on PC thanks to an alliance formed between developer / publisher Ubisoft and graphics card manufacturer NVIDIA.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah. Okay. The partnership, according to Tony Key, a senior vice president of sales and marketing at Ubisoft, basically that said they want to deliver stunning performances for the new and upcoming games. The PC remains one of the world's most popular gaming platforms, and we're committed to offering PC players the best possible experience with our games. So, well done, Rich.
Get in.
All right, Mr. Matthew, your last question to stay in the game.
Staying in the game.
Steve Ballmer has announced he will retire from his position at Microsoft at some point in the coming what? A, 6 months, B, 12 months, or C, 18 months?
I think it was... I was actually reading about this on the street because it was... This is pretty sad if you're Steve Ballmer. When he announced that he was going to retire, the stock prices at Microsoft actually went up.
Yes.
damn it. 12 months.
That's out with the old wood.
Yeah, 12 months, I think.
All right. Well, Microsoft's CEO, Steve Ballmer, will retire from his position at some point during the next 12 months.
Yay.
Company announced this morning the timing of Ballmer's departure is dependent on the process of finding his replacement, which is currently ongoing. In the meantime, Ballmer will continue his duties as usual. The search committee for Ballmer's replacement, by the way, is being helmed by
Chuck Norris,
Stephen Luxos, and good old Bill Gates.
Thank you, Chuck Norris.
Yes, thank you, Chuck Norris.
Is that guy that went to Zynga allowed to reapply for the CEO's position?
No, Don Matrick is not allowed to come back in the building at all.
Why not?
All right, Mike,
yo.
Your last question. It's for all the marbles. All the marbles. What did DICE
have? You could win.
Yeah. No pressure, Mike. What did DICE have to say about the PS4 and Xbox One versions of Battlefield 4 compared to the PC counterpart?
Was it awesome?
A, they would be on parity, B, certain aspects will be better than PC, or C, we need to compromise in some places for the Xbox One and PS4 versions?
I can't imagine saying like that they would be better. I'd say they'd have to scale them down because it just looks awesome, you know, and I just think that must be like the high end pieces. I say they have to, what do you say, like compromise?
So your choices are A, they would be on parity, B, certain aspects will be better than PC, or C, we will need to compromise in some places for the PS4 and Xbox One versions.
Part of me wants to say that good PR would be saying, oh, yeah, they're all the same. I'll go with compromise because I just don't think that can run, even with 8 gig of RAM and all that crap.
All right, well, let's find out, Mike. Executive producer Patrick Bach has suggested in an interview with VideoGamer.com that DICE is doing as much as it can with the next-gen versions, but we need to compromise in some places. Discussing the difference between the PC and the next-gen versions, Box said that from a CPU-GPU perspective, no, the PS4 and Xbox One cannot match the PC. PC will always be, you can just add more to a PC. There will always be more. The game supports to a big extent better hardware, but not completely, so it won't be night and day. But yes, Mike, well done.
Yeah.
And well done.
Uber Red Toe.
Uber Red Toe. So I'm just going to make some notes here real fast. Uber Red Toe getting a code of Battlefield 3.
You're welcome.
Yes. Mike, inadvertently, you're creating more PC gamers.
Oh, crap. Retract.
Now, we are going to we have this little tiebreaker. This is going to be for the World of Tanks beta code. Closest winner not going over. Okay? Closest winner not going over will win the code. And I'm going to go reverse order. Sorry, I'm not going to go reverse order because, Mike, you won.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Chris, Rich, Mike. Fair enough? Good. Chris, you get to go first. How many total achievements have been earned by the four of us in the game Alan Wake? Individual achievements.
Cool.
And we can note this is only for the Xbox 360, okay. And one of you did not play the game.
Can I ask? No, never mind. 84.
All right, let me write down answers here. It needs to be up and up.
Hang on, this is...
All right.
Is this...
How many achievements do you normally get in a game?
Well, since Chris did not ask and gave an answer, I'm not going to answer for you guys. That would be unfair. So, Chris's answer is 84. Rich, how many total achievements earned between three of us in Alan Wake?
Yeah, but what you didn't say in that, Greg, was that Chris was an achievement whore, and Mike's also an achievement whore. So I think I've got the right to ask. No, on average, how many achievements are there in the game? Because I ain't got any sort of idea.
No, you don't have the right to ask that question.
Do not. Rich, how many total achievements between, and remember, only three have played the game. One person out of this group did not play Alan Wake. How many total achievements have been earned?
64-bit technology is the magic number. 64.
64 for Rich.
You can't do it unless the number is 2.
And Mike, for the clean sweep, if you will, what is your guess?
I'll go for... I don't know. 55.
All right, 55 locked in. So I will now tell you there were a total possible achievements in each game of 67 total achievements in Alan Wake, of which, Rich, you earned 34. Mike and I both earned 38 for a total of 110.
Yeah, what's up?
Congratulations, Mr. Christopher Matthew. And most importantly, congratulations to PGTips77. You just won a code to World of Tanks.
Sorry I couldn't get you the Battlefield 3. There's tanks anyway.
Just kidding. I love you, Chris.
I'm going to stab you. Sorry.
And I won the Battlefield thing, so I'm okay.
Yeah, it was a fair question to ask Rich up until Chris answered it without asking. And I was going to give that.
He won anyway. So.
Chris, I know, and Chris gave his answer. So then at that point, I was like, okay, I can't divulge.
You see, that was strategery on my part.
Strategery.
Because I knew the answer to that question.
Yes, clearly.
I'm just kidding. I was guessing that there were around 50 achievements, which is kind of the average.
All right. At this point, we are going to take a mini show break so I can play this little song for you. And when we come back from the break, we're going to pick up with some questions kind of stuff and just a little in-house keeping stuff and end the show.
Did you hear about the Box Station 4001? It has 32 GB RAM and more T-flops than the competition.
All this talking about console wars, and my system's got faster RAM than yours, and my GPU has clocked higher benchmark scores. I'm sick of all these console wars. There's a rumble at N4G, there's some drama at NeoGAF, because some geek with broken English made a prediction to the masses. Half the people are talking about the power in the cloud, and the other half responds with words that shouldn't be spoken aloud. So-and-so said such-and-such, and know that he's got clout, but only 2% of us understand half of what he's talking about. So pass me a controller, and let the games begin, because arguing instead of playing, man, that's got to be a sin. All this talking about console wars, and I'll light your systems all on fire and roast a couple of s'mores. And remember how we used to talk about games on trade show floors? I'm sick of all these console wars.
If Nathan Drake and Master Chief aimed for launch, then they both missed him. But A.B. Pierce doesn't care. He'll kill you on any system. But the industry keeps rolling, and the forum trolls keep trolling. And I can't help but to wonder just how much time has been stolen. We could have been playing games, collecting legendary drops. We could have been capping flags and connecting headshots. And instead we gathered round the fire like a foolish moth swarm. We put on flame retardant suits, but it's getting a little too warm. Does anyone else feel a little uncomfortable?
All this talking about console wars, and my system's got faster RAM than yours, and my GPU has clocked higher benchmark scores. I'm sick of all these console wars. All this talking about console wars, and I'll light your systems all on fire and roast a couple of s'mores. And remember how we used to talk about games on trade show floors? I'm sick of all these console wars.
Your system is the weaker one and has no games at all.
Are you freaking kidding me? Have you seen Titanfall? Games won't support your camera, that means your peripheral sucks.
Oh yeah, I didn't want it anyway. Plus, I save $100.
Come on, we all get digital download, we all get game DVR. And Xbox Live and PSN, you're paying whoever you are. So can we have some peace instead of all these console wars? We still have to face each other in line when we shop in retail stores. Whichever one has Choo Choo Rocket, that's the one I'm getting.
We are back from the break with whistling, because Chris is just happy. Chris, you're happy. You won that code.
I did. I won the beta code for PG Tips. What's up?
All right, so we didn't really have a question last week, but we did open back up the Ask Us Anything thread on the Gate forums, and we're going to keep it open. We're going to lock it to the top, and this way, if nothing else, even if we don't have a question of the week for you, we will always have this question sitting there. You can just jump into the thread, ask away. We will check it each week and answer if we can. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Matthew, I am going to request you jump into that forum thread.
Okay.
Find that we do have at least one question in there that I know of, and I think it's rather fitting. Just got to say.
Hold on.
And we might as well prep Rich, get the Twitter thing up and running as well, because I know we had a question from Twitter.
It's ready. It's ready.
It's ready.
I don't piss about.
Primrose on the ball. Well, maybe we'll start with Primrose.
All right.
We'll come back to Mr.
We're ready.
Matthew.
We're ready. I got
it. Are you sure? Okay.
Fumu would like to know, who would you rather fight, clothes dryer man or mom's crappy homemade pizza man? I'm going to say that depends on whether it's a Maytag dryer and how good of a pizza cook mom is. I make the pizza in this house, and it's some damn fine pizza, so I will fight my own pizza any day.
Mike, what do you think? Dryer man or crappy homemade pizza mom? Man.
I might confess and say that I don't really fully understand this question.
Mike,
this is in reference to last week, Fraser Moore's video game design idea where you get shrunk down and you have to battle your way back to your room to restart.
Yes.
So you're fighting two villains. Either, what was the name of the dryer man?
Clothes dryer man,
which basically think lint, Mike. Think lint.
Okay.
Maybe a bounce sheet.
Yeah.
You know, wrapped up in there.
Yeah.
And then you've got mom's crappy pizza man. Sorry, mom's crappy homemade pizza man. So there, I'm thinking some crusty bits,
horrible,
some ragu
slimy,
sauce,
greasy monster pizza.
Some greasy pepperoni and possibly, you know.
I'm going to vote for the pizza man thing.
Yeah, but you might be getting some, like, stale fungus cheese on the end of his fists.
Yeah, that's gross. I don't want to be a part of
that. That is penicillin, Greg. It's good for you.
Good. Put that in your chest.
Rich, take notes. That might help with the ITD.
Yeah, it might help with your virus problem.
Okay.
So, Mike, I'm sorry, your response to here?
The pizza thing.
The pizza thing? Yes. Okay. So far, pizza man, cleaning house. Rich, what about you?
Right, the only homemade pizza we get is from my mother-in-law, and she's Italian, and she don't make bad pizza, so it's got to be for me. In my house, the dryer's down in the basement, so the dryer man can't get me because he's downstairs and it's all dark and dingy down there. So I'm going to go for the dryer man so I can use my double jump straight upstairs and go to bed after this podcast. Brilliant.
Okay. I was trying to find justification for why I would rather fight clothes dryer man, but I don't think I can find anything. We've established that the mom's crappy homemade pizza man is going to have penicillin on the end of his fist with the fungus cheese, so that technically is good for me. Plus, there might be some tasty sauce mixed in there, so I'm thinking even if I get punched in the mouth by him, it'll taste good.
This is the weirdest question we've ever had to answer.
No.
Not no, it isn't. Totally the weirdest, yeah. I think it's a clean sweep. I take it back. Rich, you voted for clothes dryer man, so... one for clothes dryer man, three for crappy homemade pizza man, and I think we can put this question to bed. We had a Twitter question, Rich.
Yes, we did, from Stu Lecky, who got directed to our Twitter account because he was trying to answer the question from a direct link to the forums. He says, do any of you look at podcasting as a stepping stone into other forms of media? Can I start this one?
Absolutely.
I would love to see the reaction on the face of any TV production A&R person who would be sat in some form of office and I was to take them a tape of what we do every week and play it to them and say, can I have a job, please? No, I don't. I don't look. I don't
they look won't say no. They'll say, how did you get in this building?
Right, right. Security.
I did once think it might get me into goat porn, but that's never happened. Mike's
the door has
one.
Not shut on that yet, though.
No,
the door has not shut.
Mike's
on
took that one. He keeps going off to Spain and doing that.
That's true. Making all his little videos. Pervert. Yeah. Chris, what about you?
Me? Do I think this is a stepping stone into other media?
Could you see it as a step?
Absolutely
stone?
Not.
Resounding, absolutely.
I recognize
not.
That the people who tune in every week have to endure me and my droll sense of humor, and for that, I thank you.
Mike, what about you?
I'm not sure if I understand what they're trying to get at. What's the?
Well, I think, and this is maybe a little bit of a broader interpretation of the question, but I think Stulek's kind of wanting to know, do any of us look at, you know, the podcast as potentially being a stepping stone for us getting a job and or using it as, you know, maybe some, you know, a positive piece, if you will, towards another job in the media business, whether it be games, TV, radio, whatever the case may be, you know,
let me formulate an example for you, Mike, in your case. You've worked with veteran gamers for a number of years, so you have created some very entertaining little video footage things. I like what you've just done recently with the GTA 5 type thing. So I think what he's saying is you could use them as sort of like a portfolio and go and present them and maybe use them to promote yourself or your company.
I've talked about like the podcasts and stuff that I do at work because I work in media. So, you know, if people ask, what is a podcast or kind of, what's the point of it? Like, different ways to kind of engage people, with media. So I would say, you know, I do a podcast and stuff. That's one way and there's all sorts of different ways. So for me personally, like it hasn't provided me a career. But it's certainly kind of broadened my knowledge on what the format should be. I constantly think about the format of things. So a podcast, people don't mind podcasts being a bit, with all due respect, guys, shit, right? Because, I mean, they obviously like, the reason why
can't
people,
believe you just said that.
The reason why people listen to them is because they like the people on them, right? That's the only, every podcast that you listen to, that all of us listen to, We only listen to them because we like the people. The content is kind of secondary, really. All right. So that informal kind of chat is what we go for, and that's the podcast format. Some podcasts edit it more than others, and right. some podcasts are just completely raw, which could do with a bit of editing. So I think there's a middle ground there. So like, I just, for me, I think about the format of things and how it applies. For example, you wouldn't put music in the background of a podcast because they're just too long. Things like that. That gets me thinking about. Right. I mean, the format of a video, how a video is presented. What, you know, I've been going back and forth about, you know, the gameplay videos that I've been starting to do.
Right, right.
Like, do I cut them down? Or do I upload them
from a half hour? Possibly.
So we did 20 minutes on Blops.
Yes.
Right. Do I cut that down or do I upload it raw and people want to see it? Now, I've made the decision that I'm going to cut it down, right, to... Right. We had a 40-minute Halo match, me and Matt, and I've cut it down to a 10-minute video, right? Just to right. the best bits. It's just working out the format, you know, it's just work. So it can definitely help you improve how you think about and how you, I mean, editing wise, you learn tons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always use different softwares because, you know, it's good to kind of be versatile. You were going to say something, Greg.
I was just going to say that, speaking specifically to your videos, you know, you do have to pay attention to your audience. And in some respects, kind of like what Chris was also saying, which is we know our audience. I think, at least from my perspective, I've always looked at this as a hobby.
Yeah.
I've never looked at it as a career path stepping stone.
Yeah.
That said, I certainly do see... elements of it being able to be applied.
Yeah.
Especially like in your case, Mike, where you are in media, you are doing and using a lot of tools that you end up using for the podcasts as well as the video stuff that you're
doing.
I
think about how it should be structured. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I always think about kind of why it's good and why it's bad and how it can... And I tune into... I listen to our own podcast like once a month maybe. I don't listen to every one, but I listen to like once a month just to check in on how it's sounding, how it's, you know, is it too long? And I constantly fight. The other one is egos. You have to fight egos, right? So,
true.
You know, Greg, for example, this doesn't happen because I don't really bother you about this podcast. But if I said to you, these shows are going too long, which they do, you know, I fight for the hour and a half podcast. Like an hour to an hour and a half is, I think, the magic number. You'll notice as well, the Veteran Gamers podcast this week is an hour and a half because I fucking edited it.
I've noticed that it's come down.
It's come down.
In fact, we've more or less shortened up too. And I agree. I think hour and a half is ideal, for a community based podcast. I think there are certain podcasts that can get away with longer.
Like
Giant Bomb, we can confirm.
Yeah, they always do the monsters, but they have...
Mojo. They do long them. Mojo.
Yeah. But
I think that they... IGN always do an hour, you know?
Right.
And they pack it all in. They nail it in, all
right?
And I prefer that, I think.
Well, and I think there is a fine line between giving information and being entertaining and rambling and just recording everything to record everything. And that's one thing I don't think we've ever wanted, you know, and I don't think veteran gamers have ever really wanted to do that either.
I love rambling.
Yeah, I do like it now and again.
It can be great at
like
times.
Now.
This isn't rambling. This is discussion.
If someone's looking for a career into like the video games industry, right? This is what I mean. I wouldn't say this isn't the way to go, but to get in there, you have to do everything. So you have to write a blog.
Right.
You have to apply for reviews. You have to either join a site like ours and get involved, or do your own podcast and just do everything. Make videos and constantly. Improve and improve and improve and see what everybody else is doing and do a bit of that and then do a bit of your own stuff. So, you know, don't just do what everybody else does. Do a little bit of it and try and think of some ideas of your own.
Yeah.
And that's the balance. And then it, then, you know, if someone like OGN came along and saw that you did like 3 years worth of stuff like that, then yeah, you know, you're very employable. But
And we've seen multiple IGNers actually of late have left IGN and gone on to kind of community manager roles in major video game companies.
Yeah.
I think one of the guys left to Nintendo and he's now their community manager, and another guy has gone to work for Sony.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can happen, probably not necessarily at our level, but, you know, I mean, God knows, there are plenty of sites that have grown out of the weeds, if you will, of being a small little community-based site and become major players. You think about, like, the GPD podcast and... I'm trying to think about some of the other
GWJ. Those guys,
yeah, Gamers with Jobs,
one,
absolutely.
One of them is the executive editor at PC Gaming Magazine, I think now.
Yep, yep.
Hello,
hello, Taliban.
And that's why we won't get big because we keep getting the phone calls in there.
Right, right. All right. Great question, though, Stulek. Thank you for that. Gosh, I think at this point, as long as Chris is not answering that telephone. We can just jump into the old events and happenings and everything else that goes with it, which it's more or less just birthdays and new members.
Okay.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Community events.
Okay. Events and happenings in the community. Events. Not much happening. But
right.
People are still being born, so happy birthday to Stomper 1974 and Skull Thrax. And welcome to the new members Dominic A and Preschool Champion. Congratulations to the victory achievers. This victory contest runs August 11th to October 31st. Interesting. Anyway, batch finished.
That August 11th could have been maybe August 1st. Yeah, you never
maybe
know.
Maybe you don't know how to type. August 1st to October 31st makes much more sense.
It does.
Anyway, so these people have made it into this quarter's drawing. Batch finished Fable 3 at Earthworm Jim. Bongo the Sane finished Thomas Was Alone. Lego Lord of the Rings and Limbo. Murphy's Law finished Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. Filthy finished Dead Rising Case Zero and Max Payne 3. Duke Scath finished Super Meat Boy. GamerGirl27 finished Tomb Raider and The Walking Dead.
Wow.
Ruffinch 1983 finished Super Mario Brothers Wii. Lewis Danson 22 finished Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. Greasy Fish Lips finished Uncharted, The Golden Abyss. Dr. C. Smith finished Saints Row 4. And PG Tip 77 finished Plants vs. Zombies 2. So congratulations. Get out there and achieve victories.
Yes, achieve victories. No spotlight as of, well, recording. It's possible that Parsnip sent something in while we're recording, but I'm not going to check. Sorry, Parsnip.
You rebel.
Yeah, you got to get on it. You got to be a little faster with that.
Yeah.
So but anyway, right. You know. Again, congratulations, are in order to Uber Red Toe and PG Tips for this week's news quiz. If you want to get in on the news quiz, remember, hashtag OC News Quiz. You need to tweet that to us and we will put you into our list of people that we pull from.
And as Fraser Moore so eloquently put it, you got to be in it to win it.
Yes, you do have to be in it to win it. Speaking of, well, actually, this isn't going to make any sense, so I'm just going to go Indie Writer's Block. If you like to write, you want to put some content up on the old G4TE.com, you need to contact Shinyverse.
If perhaps you want to springboard your career into the realm of video game journalism, you can start right there. Like Greg was trying to say.
Like, I know, that's like an advertisement.
In it to win it.
Oh, you're just going
to
keep saying that, aren't you?
iTunes segues, Greg. I know you need work. So you're not ever going to be a professional anchorman if you can't segue.
Never. iTunes reviews. We need them. We want them. Send them.
I'm sorry. When did Walter Cronkite arrive on the show?
You can email the show at ocpodcast@gmail.com. When you email the show, we will do our best to answer and read it on the podcast. Probably make fun of it. If there's some good questions, we'll do our best to answer them. If they're bad questions, we will most certainly make fun of it. You can also tweet us and tweet us questions. Rich will respond in kind and then put it onto the podcast. You simply do that by saying @OC_podcast. It's like the first time I've ever done the show. That's it, guys. We're pretty much at the wrap up. So any shout outs? Does anybody have a particular shout out they want to throw out there?
I'm just going to say shout out.
I'm gonna throw a shout out to Roush Stage 3. It's his birthday today. He's also real name Chris Brennan. Yeah, happy birthday, Chris.
Birthday, Chris.
Yeah, he's a long time friend. I've known him for years. Yeah, real life friend, not like
real.
He blows.
Yeah,
fake friends. Yeah. I know, total fakers.
It hurts my Greg.
Yeah, how many times have you told me you're gonna stab me in the heart? I'm just saying.
I don't know if I've ever told you I stabbed you in the heart. I have said I was going to stab you.
And possibly the face.
And in the face, I certainly have said. Yeah. I certainly have threatened to cut you a time or two. So fair enough. Fair enough.
Mike, Rich, would either of you like to shout somebody out? Or should we just put this podcast to bed?
I'm going to shout out, I don't know.
Good.
Uber Red Toe for winning Battlefield 3. Uber Red Toe, there you go. There's mine. Yeah. Well done. Right. Congrats me.
Can we go to Rich now, Mike?
Yes.
No. We hang on me. This is how you do a professional podcast. I'm
turning
in
it over
media.
To Rich. Rich, shout outs.
Fraser Moores, because he did a banging mix, so nothing to do with video games, but he did a good mix, and I listened to that the other day, and it was really good. I'm going to shout out Overdue as well. I'm going to shout out Mr. Duke Scaff, because when I went to Cornwall, I read his book. And it's a weird thing reading a book when it's somebody you know, even if it's from listening through podcasts, you know. Cause
here's a question, Rich. Do you, when you read the words, do you put it in Duke's voice?
Do you shout the words to yourself? Yell?
It's the characters, isn't it? There's no sound bites
in there.
No sound bites coming in from the side or anything. But there's obviously, there's things that Duke might have talked about a year ago or 2 years ago. And them subjects might come up in the subject matter of his book whilst you're reading it. Now that's a very hard thing to deal with as a reader of a book, because, you know, you're trying to get into the characters that are telling the story and stuff. But I've got to say that some of the narrative style that Mr. Duke does, because this is not the sort of book that I would have picked up and bought and if I was browsing through a bookshop. But I found myself really liking the stories that I wouldn't normally think that I would like, because there are stories that are in there that are, you know, they might be military based or something that might be a bit more up my street normally. But no, I'll put a special mention out to Zed and 3 days later. I thought they were both excellent, and they drew upon memories I had of when I was a teenager and stuff, and how you're always trying to impress the other half and so on. So I think, I don't know if that's to do with the way that Duke's always constantly working with kids of a certain age or so on, but he seems to be able to capture doing them sort of conversations really well. So I was very impressed with it. And my wife read it as well. And the one thing she took from it was she really enjoyed the first story. And what she was saying was he needs to do something a lot longer, because she'd love to read a book that was a lot longer.
He has got longer stuff, but he doesn't publish it.
Hmm. All right. Well, pro tip. Longer stuff.
But, well done, mate. Good job there, mate. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Greg, you got anything to say for yourself?
No, I think I've talked enough. I'm tired.
Yeah. Tired.
It's time.
to this guy.
Good job, Chris.
I might just mute you guys and watch it.
No, you will not do any such thing.
I'll tell because you'll be like, fuck.
Well, if his connection was anything like it was earlier with Battlefield or World of Tanks beta going, we're going to pull you off that game shortly, Rich. You realize that, right?
Yeah, something's gone weird with it anyway. I'm getting all fuzzy noises. And it's just the loading screen between. Can you hear it? That's like old.
I can't hear you, Rich. I think that's your connection shitting out.
Yep.
You should complain to him. Complain to him just so they give you something free.
I've done that, and he just fucking came round, tightened all the cables up round the ass and said I was losing loads because of that, because the previous engineer had not done it right.
That makes perfect sense.
Then they fucking went.
You're losing data because if the cables are loose. Yeah.
That's what they were saying.
If the cables were loose, you wouldn't get any data at all.
Your internet hose is leaking. You've got random internet in your walls.
I had a megabit.
Insurance?
Listen, honest to God, I had a megabit puzzle out in the garden. It'd been dripping. It must have been about 2 weeks, and there was megabits all over.
You might want to check your basement.
All over the paving. Yeah.
Probably.
Do you get dry rot?
Can
you get like rising damp from it?
Yeah.
Yep. Termites in the line. That's what the problem was.
Termites. Yeah.
Nanobites, actually. Isn't that, I think, the bug?
No, that's the old ones. That's before they start laying eggs.
Ah.
Oh, well. Easy achievements out of that game, though, so not all bad, Chris.
Hannah Montana achievements?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I've never done it either.
I've done some crappy games for achievements, but I'm not doing that. Especially not now that I don't care about achievements anymore.
Yeah, you do.
Now, see, anyway. I recognize my own limitations, and that's one of them.
I hear you. All right. You guys ready?
I suppose.
Yeah, do this.
Here we go. Wait, we are recording. Mike, you're recording back up?
Yeah. I think
sounds like me.
I think Chris is possessed.
Yeah,
you have to breathe and then swallow. You can't do both at the same time. I'm eating a salad.
You hear me crunching? Rich
on my salad.
Yes.
Does it sound delicious?
Not really.
Mm. Hold on.
I'm guessing it is delicious. Rich, would you do me a salad and look up the tweets just to see if there's any tweets
this
in there?
It's important, Greg.
I understand that. I will let you have your say about your salad. Hearts of romaine.
I know there was a
dried cranberry.
There was a question came
Rich,
through
Rich,
via the Twitter, wasn't there?
It's not your turn.
Okay.
Hearts
I'm
of romaine.
I'm just doing what you asked, man. Fucking hell.
Dried cranberries.
I'm with you.
Feta cheese.
Totally with you.
Sliced almonds.
Down for that.
Bacon.
We are kin right now.
Chopped up New York strip.
I am down for that salad. In fact, I had a very similar salad, minus the bacon.
I could never have
and
this
instead
salad.
Instead of romaine, hearts of romaine, I used spring mix.
Yeah.
And had that very salad, steak salad last night.
Spring mix is pretty tasty. All right.
Let's listen.
Events and happenings. People are happening and eventing.
Good. Events and happenings. I know exactly what's going on, Chris. You're debating whether you should be muting because you hear the kid in the background.
I'm just gonna hold tight for a second here. The 2-year-old is fighting sleep.
Hold on tight to your dreams.
If I remember, I will try and edit this out for you.
You'll have to edit it out now because I've just sang.
I definitely will edit that out. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.